Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Munchcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is Munchcast with Cammie Blackstone and Leo Laporte, episode 64 for April 12th, 2009, Junk Food and Wine Pairings. This show is brought to you by listeners like you and your contributions. We couldn't do it without you. Thanks so much. It's time for Munchcast, the show that covers things to good things to eat. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Cammie Blackstone back from where have you been?
Oh, you know, I'm sorry. I feel bad that I was I missed a show. But you know what, my kids, it's baseball season.
You
completely
missed.
I know,
two shows.
Did I miss two?
Two shows.
Ew.
The last show we did was on grilled cheese.
No, we did one on malt.
Malt. That
we
was
did
malt.
One on malted
that was
milk
fun.
Balls.
And what are we doing today?
Today we're going to do something that was recommended a while back: wine pairings with junk food. Now, what inspired this was that you told me when I said I'm going to be coming actually live and in the studio, you said, "Oh, well, we can drink wine." And I thought, "Well, that sounds like a splendid idea."
Well, it's something we do now in the Twit Cottage because we have a sponsor that sends us wine.
And you're smack dab right here in the wine country. Why the hell not?
Yeah. I always thought it'd be kind of fun if we made this a party so that people would actually come here, you know, because otherwise we are kind of remote.
Right. Well,
it took you an hour to get up here?
It took me an hour to get up here because people are flooding to the Twit Cottage. I think that it's, you know, it is a must-see on the Northern California tour guide.
It seems to be. We get people every day now.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, so, you know, I was doing a little research on pairing wines with junk food. And I have this, like, ancient slide rule sort of thing.
Oh, it's a wine pairing
meter. Yeah, it's like, look at how stained it is and disgusting. I've had it for
red wine stains on it.
100 years. And so on this one, you can sort of, like, you line up.
But it's got turkey and
I'm sure it's just
veal and
well, you know, if you
beef.
Go, I actually do have at winewebcentral.com, winewebcentral.com. There's a wine pairing. You can check out their wine pairing thing.
Okay,
it's pretty cool, and you can kind of like figure out. You choose the meat, and then you choose sort of how it's prepared, and
right.
It tells you what kind of wine. So, for instance, if you were going to say go with a hot dog smothered in onions.
That would be, okay, let me guess.
Okay.
I think a hot dog, which is a spicy, rich flavor, you need something to kind of cleanse the palate. I don't think you'd go with a Cabernet. I think you'd go maybe with a Beaujolais.
Zinfandel.
Oh, they're saying the heartiest. They want the beefiest wine to go with
yes.
The beefiest dog.
Now, I also, there's also another really...
Actually, a Zin and a hot dog, that would be good.
Wouldn't it be good?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be good?
Yeah.
I wouldn't
drink a light white because it just would be killed.
Right. Yeah. They do say that a rosé sometimes would be good with a
rosé. There's a fine wine.
Look, in a little bit, we're going to have a special guest who has a great restaurant in San Francisco called Maverick.
Maverick?
It's in the Mission. Yeah. And his big specialty is he does wine pairings with junk food.
You're kidding.
No. And he has a big one coming up on July 22nd. And I guess tickets go really fast because he figures out like what goes best with Cool Ranch Doritos and what goes best.
When he says junk food.
Like Cool Ranch Doritos, that sort of thing. Cracker Jack. What goes best with Cracker Jack?
That's really bad.
Well,
here's a glass for you. A little bottle opener, in case you would like to try your own pairings.
Well, one of the things I understand is...
Because you have to drive home.
Yeah, actually, I'm driving to Santa Rosa, so it's a cruise. So I brought some peeps because we are here in the Easter holiday.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the rules of wine is that your wine should always be sweeter than the food.
The wine should always be sweeter than the food.
Because if you have something really sweet and the wine's not sweet...
The wine will taste like orange juice. You know how when you have orange juice...
After you've brushed your teeth?
After you brush your teeth. Well, or like after you have a sweet cereal. You don't want to have Cap'n Crunch and then have a drink of orange juice because
right.
It's like...
Right.
Oh, it's sour.
Exactly.
So you're saying the wine will taste very sour if the food's too sweet.
So one thing they say that goes well with dessert items and snacky things like that is champagne. And I noticed you didn't have champagne, so I brought some champagne.
Wait a minute. That's a can.
It's a can. It's not champagne.
It's a can of champagne.
It's not the champagne of beers.
This is from Sofia Coppola.
Yeah, Coppola. This was all the rage in Europe a couple years ago.
Wait a minute. That's Francis Ford Coppola's daughter.
You pop
she directed
Lost in Translation. And then that that sort of rock and roll.
That was terrible. The Marie Antoinette movie. Yeah.
So it has this.
So this has a, this is like, oh, this is hysterical. So it's a small can. It has a straw. It comes with a straw attached.
Yeah, like a juice box.
It's a juice box for grown-ups.
It is. It is. But
let me open it. Does it do the...
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's a satisfying...
Oh, yeah.
Would you like a peep to go with your champagne?
But is this sweet champagne?
Well, it's not that sweet. We'll see if this works. Actually, it's not even that good.
Let me get the straw in. It's not even good champagne?
Well, maybe it needs to be colder. I don't usually have my champagne out of a can with a straw.
Wait a minute. Oh, the straw has a special...
It's very elegant.
It's good.
You better be really secure in your manhood having this girly drink.
It's a bendy straw.
It's just like a juice box.
You know, it's hard if you're not looking. If you're looking at,
you can't get it in your mouth.
No.
Are you having trouble?
Yeah.
I think you've had too much of the other wine.
Mm. Oh, that's sweet. Yeah. Okay, let me try it with a peep.
Try it with a peep.
Okay.
It'll be a good Easter.
This is snack. A good Easter. So here's our first pairing. Peeps and champagne. Uh-huh. I kind of swore off peeps. I had a peep problem. Mm. I want to peep 12-step. But
I think that this is not sweet enough for the peeps.
You know what you say with a peep?
Mm-mm.
One is too few, a thousand or too... One is too many, a thousand or too few. Mm-hmm. All right, let me try it with the champagne. No, that's good.
Is it?
Don't you find that tasty?
It does. You know, it does. I think it's the only thing that could really stand up to a peep.
Not many things could stand up to a peep, but Sofia Coppola's champagne in a can, Blanc de Blanc,
mm-hmm.
effervescent, fragrant, perfect for peeps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm. Does this actually say champagne or is this sparkling wine?
It's Blanc de Blanc.
Okay.
Can't say champagne, right? Because it has to be from France.
France. Yeah. Wow.
Ah.
Mm-hmm.
It's refreshing.
It is. I feel so springy.
Oh, I lost the straw. See, this is what I was afraid of.
Oh, geez.
She needs a taller straw.
Yeah, she does. I know. Well, the thing is, you really do need to use the bendy part because then it also...
Oh, it holds it.
It holds it up. It's like a break. It's like a straw break.
I have a straw failure.
Now, I know... Are my kids running in and out of the house? Sorry.
I hear knocking.
Oh.
I hear you knocking.
People are here.
But you can't come in. No, you can't. Come on in. Are you guys from Will He Hurl? This is perfect timing. These guys do a podcast called, a game show called Will He Hurl.
Oh my gosh, this is perfect.
Well, I'll tell you what we're drinking right now. Peeps
we're
and
doing
champagne.
Wine with junk food.
That'd make you a hurl. Yeah.
You ever wrap those? You know, you put a chopstick through them and roast them?
Uh-huh. Roasted peeps. Well, we're going to finish the show about junk food pairings, and then we'll talk to the Will He Hurl?
Awesome.
It's kind of appropriate for Munchcast.
I think by the end of this show, we will be hurling.
Okay, we had peeps and champagne. What's another good pairing is
there's a great website called gourmetsleuth.com that does cheese pairings. And I looked at their whole cheese. I mean, there's hundreds of cheeses in it.
Wine and cheese really was my dream here. It wasn't just about the wine. I wanted to do the cheese, too.
Well, I noticed out of their 300 cheeses and wine pairings, they did not list Velveeta. I was stunned and amazed that there would not be Velveeta. However, I did find out that if you are going to have a classic macaroni and cheese, like the orange macaroni, like in a box, they say that the best wine for that would be a 2002 Brancol Reserve Sauvignon Blanc from Marlboro.
Okay.
Now, other people have said, you know, like they say that it's very hard to match wine with spicy food.
Yes.
So if, say, you're having spicy chili or tacos... What sort of wine would you have with that?
Oh, this is another test. Okay, spicy chili or tacos. I think a nice Chilean Rioja, a red, a full-bodied red from Chile.
Okay, let me see. I'm looking at my slide rule. Well, they are saying a Petite Syrah.
Petite Syrah, that'd be good.
Because that's got a little spice to
it. It's got spice.
Cab to sort of like calm it down because with being overwhelmed. You just really need a full-bodied wine. Are you all right there?
Yeah. A little too full body.
Oh, now Leo, I wanted to ask you about one thing before we call our special guest.
Yes.
I was tantalizing my children on the way here about coming to Petaluma and seeing what the Colonel has done.
The Colonel? KFC?
Petaluma is one of 5 cities nationwide. Colonel Sanders is personally filling the potholes.
What?
You don't know about that? Google it right now. Colonel Sanders.
Wait a minute.
KFC,
what the hell are you
Petaluma,
talking about?
Which... potholes.
Okay, the it'll take a while Petaluma. To type that in. C-O-L-O-N-E-L.
Just do KFC Petaluma and see what happens in news. Because
we are the pothole capital of the world.
Well, your mayor, bless her heart,
Pam Torliat,
made a deal with the Colonel. And he's been out here filling potholes. And I guess it's raised all kinds of ire amongst Petalumans.
The Colonel was dead.
Well, I think it's...
Here it is. Bay Area potholes looking good. Thanks to the Colonel. Finally, we know why the chicken crossed the road to fix the potholes.
Anyway, there's supposed to be special KFC pothole filling stuff.
Well, does it say KFC?
I don't know if they use the mashed potatoes, but they do have some sort of
logo. The restaurant sent us a check. This is pathetic. For $3,000. That's all. $3,000. In return, we must stencil refreshed by KFC on the street at each of the repairs. Mayor Pam Torliat said her city is not selling out. The restaurant chain picked Petaluma and 3 other cities nationwide for this promotional contest. In Louisville, Kentucky, one of the other towns, it was enough to fill 300 potholes. That's $10 a pothole.
Well, you've got bigger potholes.
I don't think we could do it for less than 50.
Here in the egg basket to the world.
Holy camoly. The winning cities were chosen at random from 14 nominated after KFC's president sent letters announcing the Refresh the Streets contest to mayors across the U.S. I haven't seen any. Have you seen any KFC?
I'm looking everywhere. We drove all through downtown.
This is news to me. We've got plenty of potholes left. 3,000 for total, when we have probably 1,000 potholes.
Well, you're going to keep the Colonel busy. I just think it's kind of exciting to have that happening right here.
I had no idea we were in KFC pothole capital.
Yes, you are.
Wow, I'm excited about that. What would you drink with KFC?
Oh, I don't know.
That's fried chicken. I think you could do a white, maybe.
I think, maybe.
Maybe a Sauvignon Blanc, something crisp to cut the grease.
Yes, absolutely.
You want a grease cutter.
This might be good. The Sofia Coppola in a can.
Coppola in a can. Let me just taste some of that. You don't have to use a straw. You can sip it right out of the can.
That's how men drink it.
Mm.
But you do have your pinky extended.
It is, you know, it is kind of sweet, which makes it great for peeps.
As a peep.
This is the perfect
companion.
Pairing for peeps. Speaking of peeps.
We're going to call Mike Pierce.
Mike Pierce is
from Maverick. By the way, if you want to visit Maverick, they are in San Francisco. Maverick.com is their website. And they have... they're at 17th and Valencia, I believe. 17th and Valencia.
Any relationship to John McCain?
No. Isn't that funny? We should ask them if they had any sort of weirdness after the Sarah Palin Maverick-y stuff.
Maverick.
I do know that July 22nd is the Junk Food Wine Pairing Challenge number 6. And Mike is going to introduce 4 challenging foods, often eaten but rarely paired with wine. Cheetos, Butterfingers. What goes with those?
What goes with Cheetos?
Thank you for calling Maverick. This is Mike.
Mike, Leo Laporte, Cami Blackstone from Munchcast.
Hey, how are you?
I can't. It's a busy lunch hour right now. I can hear the background that everybody's eating at Maverick right now.
Everybody did eat at Maverick today.
Well,
as many as we can fit in.
I'm so excited you agreed to do this last minute, and then I realized, oh, you have a junk food pairing coming up on the 22nd of July.
I do. Yes, I try to do those. You know, I do my one of a kind calendar. I do one Wednesday a month, and I try to fit in a junk food one every third one. Because, like junk food itself, it seems to be kind of addicting, and people get really into it.
Where'd you get this idea?
It's funny, and I don't know. I don't want to slander junk food because I know you guys are.
No, we have no investment in the junk food industry.
Yeah, this is not sponsored by Doritos.
Not by Doritos.
I should be sponsored by Frito-Lay.
You should.
As much as I talk about Cool Ranch Doritos, so I do have a slight penchant for Cool Ranch Doritos. Used to be more of a problem, now it's the pension. I'm also completely obsessed with food and wine pairing, to the point that whenever I'm eating anything, I try to figure out what wine would go with it.
Well, you know, we just had, and I think this is a very good pairing, I think you might want to try it, because it's Easter, we had peeps.
Uh-huh, ooh, those are hard.
And Cammy, well, and Cammy said you shouldn't have any. You got to have something as sweet as the Peeps, because otherwise it'll taste tart. So she brought the Sofia Coppola champagne in a can.
I could see that.
It's pretty sweet. It's pretty sweet, sparkling. And you know what? It was a very good. Very good.
Yeah, it's fun. That is the traditional. I've actually been going against that logic in winning sometimes, instead of pairing sweet with sweet, because it is, I mean, in some ways it's a little easier to pair sweet with sweet because you're just getting sugar meeting sugar. I've been trying to find really dry, regular table wines to go with really sweet desserts.
Well, give me an example.
So just to finish on the Cool Ranch thing, so I was eating Cool Ranch Doritos, doing an interview like this, actually, for the Contra Costa Times on comfort food pairings, and unprofessionally eating the Cool Ranch Doritos while I was talking to the lady, and she asked me what I was eating, and I felt like I needed to kind of have an answer which
Justify
related
it.
To what you're talking
yeah.
about. So I said, oh, I'm sitting here eating Cool Ranch Doritos trying to find a wine to pair with it, and I proceeded that day to try to find one, and it was really hard. And what I found is junk food because of all the chemicals and the whey and the fake cheddar cheese and MSG. Those are all really hard things that can make wine taste really bad, but I finally found the absolute perfect wine, and that just kind of led me to take it further and further and keep challenging myself, and so far I've paired up about 30 or 40 different kind of junk food or comfort foods with wine. The pairing that I have found, my last junk food wine seminar, we did cinnamon rolls.
Ooh.
And I wanted to model them after the kind of ones you buy at a gas station.
Uh-huh.
With the ones that come in a six pack with the twirly things with the gooey part in the middle.
The Entenmann's or something?
Not even that nice. I wanted to kind of
Svenhardt's.
Yeah, exactly. The pinwheel things.
Right.
Oh, God.
And so I needed something to pair it with, and I didn't want to do dessert wine, and I found a really lean Sonoma Coast Russian River Pinot Noir, which worked really well because it has a lot of cinnamon and nutmeg characteristics, and it's really high acid, and it just cleaned it up real nice. You could still taste the wine, you could still taste the food, and it matched pretty well.
Amazing.
Now, everyone always says that, like, Indian food is the hardest thing to pair wine.
Well, did
wine
you see my calendar? I actually, my next... So I'm doing Riesling this month. The next month I'm doing Indian food and wine. Is my next seminar in May.
Okay.
On May 20th, because what happened is I ended up tackling sushi. Because sushi is really challenging.
Another tough one, yeah.
Yeah, and I just love challenging myself. And I don't even eat sushi, strangely enough. So I successfully tackled sushi, and at that seminar, all the guests were kind of, I'm like, I threw it out there. I'm like, I should try Indian food. And they're all like, yeah, do Indian food. So
those
are two very classically difficult cuisines to pair
okay,
in
so
different ways.
There you are. You're in the middle of the Mission District, burrito capital of the world.
Uh-huh.
What kind of wine would go with, say, just your standard La Cumbre carne asada burrito?
Oh, an older, hopefully an aged, very nice German Riesling.
Oh.
German Rieslings, and one of my first junk food wine pairing, I did a carnitas tacos, soft tacos, with a 96 Cabernet from the Mosel. And German Rieslings, when they're really well and they're really well-developed and well-aged, should actually smell like a margarita. They should have a really limey, kind of key lime floral smell to them, a lot of minerality, which would be the salt, and then they always have an earthy, some people say diesel or latex or a fuel type characteristics, which
diesel
is awesome.
Or latex, those are two adjectives I've never heard in
my
life.
Oh, yeah, Riesling's always certain, and the term the Europeans use are petrol. I mean, they almost smell a little like fuel, in a good way, though. I mean,
Of course.
Qualify that by saying in a good way, but that smell also is kind of like agave, like aloe, like that earthy cactus. So that pretty much is what a margarita smells like. Ergo, nice German Rieslings go well with Mexican food, and it's so true. They cut the spice, they match the lime, they're really acidic, so they can cut all the fatness of the meat. They're absolutely perfect for Mexican food.
Pork rinds. What goes with pork rinds?
Pork rinds, like spicy ones, or just kind of the chicharrones kind of?
I go Pinot.
Pinot. You're thinking a big Pinot?
I think Pinot, well, Pinot is one of the many reasons why Pinot is so popular is because it is really versatile.
Yeah.
But yeah, again, you want something high acid. I would even think like a Gruner or a Sauvignon Blanc from Loire Valley
might
work as well.
Nice crisp Sauvignon Blanc might be good. I'm thinking with the Cool Ranch Doritos. Boy, that's a tough one.
So I found this rosé that a friend of mine makes.
Rosé, all right.
Rosés are the most versatile style of wine for food pairing ever. I mean,
it's a little actually, white, a little red. You
well,
know.
Also they go really well with garlic and onions and Mediterranean herbs and spices.
It's confused wine.
And so the rosé is actually onion powder and garlic powder, which it matched well with. And then there's a little cayenne, a little heat in the Cool Ranch. And the this rosé, particular rosé, has a little more richness to it. And so that cut the heat really well. But the key thing is the rosé in question is left on the lees. So when the dead yeast cells eat the sugar to turn to alcohol, you can either pump the wine off the dead yeast cells or leave it on and stir them up and get them all in there. And that adds a real floral richness to it. And almost yeastiness. And that particular component of this wine, this rosé is left in the leaves for about 8 months, really matched the whey and the MSG,
wow,
strangely enough.
So you're clearly a wine lover. And
yeah, I'm a certified sommelier, and I do all our wines here.
There you go. So does the wine community kind of sneer at what you're up to here?
Kind of. I mean, if you just read the SF Gate article, read the article in the Chronicle online and go ahead and read. I mean, the Chronicle, people that respond to articles on SF Gate are kind of a jaded group to begin with.
They're all haters.
Yeah, they're all haters anyway. But if you can go read all the comments, yeah, there's definitely an elitist component. And I think it was misunderstood. People think that I was just trying to push junk food or push my restaurant. But I'm just trying to challenge myself. But yeah, there is a little bit of sneering. And then there's also folks, you know, we have a lot of regular guests who absolutely trust anything I'll put in front of them, because I've just built that trust over the years, and they just trust in me, and they're excited about it.
Well, but I mean, you do these special events every Wednesday, right?
It's one Wednesday a month.
Okay.
Yeah. But they say, you know, I mean, the generation between 28 and 38 who are big wine drinkers, they're the ones who are more apt to kind of be a little more adventurous and try this stuff. And some of these are honestly the Riesling and the Riesling Mexican food. That's an old master sommelier trick. I mean, that's something that's been done for years. The other one would be a pepperoni pizza and a Barbera d'Asti.
Ooh.
Is just a classic. You read any wine pairing book and you'll find that in there.
That does sound great.
But the really interesting thing for me is the dichotomy between the junk food and, you know, the cheapness of it and the chemicals that go in it. And the wines that tend to go with those foods, strangely enough, are the more expensive and the more esoteric wines. And they're the opposite. So you almost pair that cheap kind of mass-produced chemical food with very artisan, usually older vintage wines that you just can't find every day. So it's really interesting for me. The ones that seem to work the best are not the kind of wines you'd find at Safeway, or wines you just find next to the junk food, you know?
Okay.
They're the wines you really got to search for.
Your next challenge then, Mike, is to go like super expensive gourmet food and then the cheapest rot gut liquor you can find.
Yeah. I don't know if I want to take on that challenge.
Gourmet rot gut. That's a perfect.
There's a time and place for all wine, but I definitely am not a fan of some of the. Yeah.
So you're not going to go like foie gras and Ripple?
No.
Okay.
No. I think I'll stick to the.
We'll leave that challenge to someone else.
My path now. You know, some of the hardest things to pair is that fake cheddar cheese, the nacho cheese Doritos, the Cheetos. That is like.
That's because it's not actually food.
It's so hard. I mean, cheddar cheese in general is hard.
Yeah.
It's the hardest cheese to pair with wine. I mean, actually, a tawny port usually works pretty well. But
there you go.
And beer works really well. But with wine, it's just really hard. It's such a mouth-coating cheese.
There's nothing
but
nice.
But then when you take it to the next level and have the fake cheddar cheese, it even adds a whole other dynamic
well,
to it.
We're so grateful that you are up to this challenge and are solving all of these culinary wino problems.
Yeah,
for
I mean,
us.
Again, it's just like one, you know, it's one little thing I do, and I do it because, you know, a steak and a Cabernet has been done before, and it's easy, and I just, like, really enjoy challenging myself. And honestly, some of them, when they're amazing together. When some of these things, like we broke down every different color of Skittles. And I'd say one of my waiters is also a certified sommelier and sells wine. I brought him over one day, and we just literally, like, sat there. And Skittles actually go really well with wine, if you find the right wine.
Wow.
And the thing about this, too, is, and I want to just inspire another wine class, is that when these things don't work, when the junk food, which junk food's really hard, when it doesn't work and 95% of the wines you put in front of it, it's not going to work, it goes really bad.
Ooh.
It's not just like, oh, that's, you know, this doesn't, these things don't complement each other.
It's like Clorox and Windex. You just don't want to mix the two.
It's it needs the worst flavor in your mouth.
You're creating mustard gas. It's not good.
Yes.
The restaurant looks so good. I'm dying to go there. Maverick in San Francisco. It's sfmaverick.com, an American eatery and wine bar. Take a look at the menu and then one-of-a-kind Wine Wednesdays.
Yeah, which, and the calendar for those is available on our website, which you just mentioned, sfmaverick.com. It's a little, I have seminars scheduled out to about September now.
That's great, Mike. This is fantastic. Indian Food and Wine, June 17th. Good Cop, Bad Cop, Wine and Food Pairing 2.0, July 15th. And then July 22nd, Junk Food Wine Pairing Challenge, number 6.
Yes.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Thank you, Mike.
Mike, right, thank you so much. And now we're going to polish off the rest of our peeps and down the sofa, and we're good to go.
Try to go out and try to find a Sancerre and try go the opposite direction. Go get a Sancerre with that, a young Sancerre.
Something crisp, something dry.
Yeah, dry, white. Either Gruner Veliner or a Sancerre and see how that works.
That sounds good.
All right, thank you.
Thank you,
all
Mike.
Right,
oh, we do. We have to try it. We might have a Sancerre in the other room. We should break out.
Oh, okay. And I did send you a song if you did want a musical accompaniment by Eartha Kitt. That's pretty fantastic.
Really? Eartha Kitt sings about junk food
about
wine
champagne
pairings?
On a beer barrel budget.
That's kind of our life right there,
it
isn't
is.
It
is. And then I was going to, if I had more time, try to pair wine with Twinkies, because look what I got for Christmas.
What is that? What is that?
It's a cookbook.
The Twinkies cookbook.
Yeah. And it's kind of incredible because Twinkie is the main ingredient. There are a couple of meat, different meat recipes. There's chicken raspberry Twinkie salad.
Sounds good.
Pigs in a Twinkie, where you use the sausage links. And twinkling turkey, where you
I think that's a whole other show. I think you should save that.
Okay, we'll save the Twinkies. We'll do that another day.
Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Eartha Kitt.
The late great.
Thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Cheers!
On Munchcast!
Wanna take me cruising on an ocean liner to places I long to see? Well, with my champagne taste and your beer bottle pockets, don't forget to write me when you get there in your rowboat, when you paddle across the sea without me.